Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of us have heard John 3:16 a lot. It's finally in the season of Lent, we have a bumper sticker we can live with, right? We have a marketing slogan that we can be proud of. For God so loved the world that God gave his only Son so that all who believe in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Finally, a little hope. Well, if you just take that text all by itself, which is what's done far too often, you can end up with kind of a pithy slogan. But John 3:16 happens within a context and within the Gospel of John. Two very significant things to consider. When I was in seminary, one of the things that the leading commenter on the Gospel of John was Raymond Brown. We called him Downtown Raymond Brown. And pretty much if you wanted to know anything about John, most of us anyway, hung out and read Raymond Brown. And one of the things that we learned from Raymond Brown was that when you read John, you have to be careful not to domesticate or water down the words of Jesus. Because Jesus says some things in John that are really hard to swallow. But if you understand how John is structured and what the purpose of John is as John writes to that community, you understand that everything in John is leading to the cross. And so right here in this context of the story of Nicodemus, you have images of light and darkness, of truth and of wonder, all packed into one story. Nicodemus, who is a leader of his people, comes to Jesus at night. He's maybe a little worried about what people will think as a religious leader. What, talking to this radical, crazy rabbi? He comes to Jesus at night. He maybe is a devotee of Jesus, maybe a believer, but he wants to keep it secret, quiet, and under the cover of darkness, a significant thing in John, he meets with Jesus. And he begins to ask questions and get answers that he's not ready for. We like to just truncate John 3:16 all by itself, but it's within the broader answer when Nicodemus wants to know what this whole thing about Jesus is all about. Jesus answers, it's about the cross. It's about the cross. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. In that Gospel of John, Nicodemus is called to the cruciform lifestyle. Not in secret. Well, as I prepared for this text over the last few weeks, I got to wondering, is Christianity still kind of a secret? So I started watching the newspaper to see what they had to say about you. It was enlightening. I saw, again, the Gallup poll that polled Americans who still, when people think about you as Christian people, what they envision is a very small segment of the evangelical right And so therefore you are described as bigoted, intractable, uneducated. You are politically very conservative, and you don't care about poor people. That's who Christians are. Christians follow a tightly formulated set of rules and morals and are out of touch with modern society. Did you know that about yourself?
Yes.
Yes. Well, good. I also read an article that was very touching. It's actually just this morning. And in this article, it was about a soldier who died in Afghanistan. And the story was written about his wife, who was also an officer in Afghanistan, and about how she had been allowed by her boss to fly in on June 5th to his deployment station and to celebrate his birthday. They had a few hours together. They flew in. She borrowed a candle from the chaplain and found a microwavable cake. I didn't even know there was such a thing. And she made a microwavable cake and stuck the candle in it. They celebrated his birthday, and then she flew off. And a couple of weeks later, he was killed. And she described burying him next to his best friend, who had died just weeks earlier. And about the incredible grief that washed over her, but that was coupled with this. She said, "I know that his physical body is gone, but I know he lives." And so for her faith, these words were more than just a bumper sticker or a political slogan or a narrowly defined idea of Christianity. What she found there was life and hope. For the most part, Christianity is largely absent, except in a negative way, in the newspapers. The last story was an opinion page that I think was on Tuesday that talked about the fact of how this person was regretting the fact that if anyone says anything even slightly negative about one of the other religions, whether it be Islam or Buddhism or whatever, that they get jumped on and criticized, but that if you condemn Christianity or criticize Christianity, we call it free speech. Well, it's none of those things. You see, when Jesus talks to this Nicodemus in the dark, he seeks to bring light and grace. It turns out that our faith is not an intractable set of morals and rules. Our faith is not bound up in the practices of one particular church or one particular political slice of life. Our faith is bound up in the fortunes of Jesus, who tells Nicodemus on that day that the Son of Man must be lifted up. You see, if we try to pursue any faith that is not based and live its life within the cross, if we don't live that out in a powerful, positive, and hopeful way, then we leave Jesus on the cross and ourselves in the dark. But Jesus calls both Nicodemus and us in to the light. those Pew polls and Gallup polls that identify Christianity with this tiny 2% of Christians, but leaves all of you unsung, needs to change. Jesus pulls Nicodemus out of the dark and calls us out of the dark as well. Unless we proclaim our faith in our life daily, day after day after day, then people will believe the oddest things about you. They'll think you're homophobic. They'll think that you actually don't care about people and that your real purpose is to extract as much money from people in the pew as possible. I'm sorry, those of you who are on the Capitol campaign. But the reality is that we've been given, as Paul says, the gift of God's grace and God's love. And we've been called to live it out in the light for the light. And we do it in so many ways. Someone asked me this morning, well, you know, what's the Lutheran Church's reaction to politics? You know, are we a political church? And I said, well, you know, we are. We're a terribly political church. When there are wars that are unjust, we speak up. When we see people who are hurting, we bring help. We stand with the poor and those who are suffering, and we make our voice heard. It's a very different Christianity than I read about. We are bound in the cross of Jesus Christ to a life of light. And you are its beginning. You know, it is my hope and my dream that one day when I do this sermon now, 3 years from now, I will look out and I will recognize the Christians in the paper. I will read about you and your love and your work and your light and your grace in God. Amen.